I was wondering maybe just some biomarkers you could use, or Ki 67, or what's that thing they use in neoadjuvant setting, PEPI or something?
Yeah, well, so the PEPI scale is a measure of change in proliferation and residual disease. I think the caution there is it's very easy to overinterpret. Remember, Ki 67 has been an assay fraught with difficulty when it comes to actually making clinical decisions because it's very hard to interpret center-to-center results. I would caution investigators not to be too eager to give 3 or 4 weeks of neoadjuvant endocrine therapy with or without a CDK4/6 inhibitor, look at Ki 67, and then say, aha, we know which way to go at this point. There really aren't any clinical data.
I don't know. Just thinking about the adjuvant CDK trials with a renewed sense of optimism because, you know, we always wonder about this translation from metastatic to earlier disease. I don't know if your lung people told you, but at ESMO, there was this huge, basically adjuvant checkpoint trial, stage 3 disease that was positive, 0.52 hazard rate for recurrence. And it was like, wow, maybe this stuff's going to work in the early. And then I started thinking about CDK. I mean, now you're talking about ER positive, HER2 negative, a lot of women.
It is a lot of women. And so ribociclib and palbociclib are engaged in major adjuvant trials. You got to remember, though, most recurrences of ER-positive breast cancer happen after 5 years. So you got a long wait on some of these things, unless there's a really dramatic early signal. And that's one of the challenges to clinical trials right now for ER-positive breast cancer is that recurrences happen after years of therapy. And that's good, obviously. We don't want early recurrences, but it does mean that it takes a long time to see the difference.
Yeah, that is a challenge. Also, I was thinking when you mentioned that at least the PALLAS trial using 2 years, you know, like what's the optimal duration? Maybe it's 6 months, maybe it's indefinite.
Absolutely. You know, people got lucky with trastuzumab that 1 year sort of turned out to be optimal. 2 years wasn't better, 6 months wasn't quite as good. But that's a cosmic mystery as to why 1 year of trastuzumab miraculously seems to be optimal. And, you know, it goes back to our initial discussion about neoadjuvant. If you have 3 months of chemo, trastuzumab, pertuzumab, and have this incredible response, maybe you need nothing further, but we don't have data on that.
So yeah, and then I can imagine a general medical oncologist listening to all these things and how they associate things. I was just flashing, we had your colleague Anne Lacasse at our symposium this past weekend, and she was talking about the idea of in CLL combining two novel agents, ibrutinib and venetoclax, and maybe only having to give them for a year or 6 months and curing them. It kind of reminded me of the endocrine paradigm. You know, are we going to have to use indefinite therapy, or maybe bringing in 2 years of palbo or, you know, a CDK inhibitor will be enough to cure them?
Well, it's a good problem to have. You know, in CLL, now they're seeing these astonishing response rates, 90%+. It's like the imatinib story in CML with, you know, extraordinary responses. And when you see numbers like that, you really begin to wonder if we can interrupt treatment. We don't give antibiotics forever when you've had a pneumonia. And hopefully we'll get to the point that we can make rational choices. Right now, no data. And the interesting thing there is that for endocrine therapy, of course, the data are going the other way, right? I mean, we have high-level data that for higher-risk cases in particular, longer durations look to be valuable. Whether that relates to CDK4 inhibitors remains to be seen.